This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
So we're journeying through Michael Huntington's path as a paranormal investigator. Michael, before we go on with more of that, you have a wife, you've got a family. How do they treat this? They look at you and say, oh, daddy's just a crazy person, ignore him. Or do they work with you or somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, my wife knows that I was, you know, always strange and into these sort of topics. And when we started making our trips, they were always part of, you know, our regular vacations because, you know, no matter where you go, you're going to find between point A and point B, you're going to find some strange spots to stop off and visit. So, you know, it was always a part of our regular vacation trips. As long as there was a park to play in and the hotel had swimming pools, you know, that's pretty much all my family was worried about. My boys and my wife have probably been to more, you know, anomalous locales than a lot of researchers. My kids grew up, you know, looking for the Mothman in the TNT area, you know, or hanging around Kelly Hopkinsville area, you know, hanging out there in Kelly, you know, where the goblin supposedly came down. You know, it's just always been part of their lives since they were little. You know, we go to UFO conferences, we go to cryptid conferences, we go to ghost conferences, we take regular trips, and then, you know, I'll check my map and we'll stop along the places. I don't tend to bring my boys to, like, you know, out in the middle of fields at night, you know, or, you know, murder spots. I tend to not bring them out to there. But my wife's been supportive of it, you know, because it's definitely interesting. It's off the beaten path. We get to see a lot of interesting things. And my wife's a early childhood education teacher. She teaches preschool. So we've taken these opportunities to get the boys to engage their critical thinking, to speculate and postulate on, you know, what certain things may be, you know, like the Loch Ness Monster, Bigfoot or whatever. And my boys tend to be really skeptical, you know, they'll look at videos online, you know, the clickbait type stuff, and they'll just flat out tell you, oh, that's fake, you know, or that's CGI.
Unfortunately, Michael, they're probably right with a lot of them.
That's the nature of the beast, you know. A lot of the stuff that we look at, you know, even if it's not, you know, say a true sort of thing, I still like to visit and I still like to document because it's part of, you know, the subculture. It's part of urban legends. It's part of history and folklore for a lot of these small towns. And regardless of the cause, whether it's just a tall tale or it's something legitimately anomalous, I think it's worthy of documenting and preserving. But it's also, you know, worthy of, you know, gathering the data in order to determine, you know, actual phenomenological locations to where hopefully one day science, you know, can engage in a long-term study, you know, once we figure out what these locations are. Yeah, throughout the history, you know, especially of UFOs, you know, most of what's seen is mundane. They have prosaic explanations. A skeptical will agree with this. A believer will agree that 90%, you know, is probably something that's explainable, right? But there's still a percentage that's interesting and unknown. Most of the stuff that we see out there, especially, you know, in the social media world, it's bunk.
Well, of course, the problem is that a lot of these people will put up something on YouTube to get clicks and get money. Now, we tried, by the way, to put the Paracast episodes, the full episodes, of course, with the ads, because we have a subscription version without the ads. We put the full version of the show on YouTube. So we had a YouTube channel for the Paracast. Every episode from 2010 to about 2019 or 20 was uploaded. Hours uploading. And then YouTube, in its infinite wisdom, the folks at Google decided that we no longer can monetize it. I think part of it is the fact that they're just getting the show. That show is available as a podcast. It's available from our network. So therefore, I guess because we're not original material, they would not let us monetize it. Or not. I don't know. You write them and you're talking to a brick wall. Okay, I'm glad that really excited everybody.
Okay. Yeah, it's sort of a double-edged sword. You know, I mean, people create content, and if you're creating valuable content, you want to be rewarded for it, you know, especially if it's informative and people enjoy it. But, yeah, there's such a money-making sort of thing out there, you know, where people are focused on the clickbait and they're focused on just getting the hits and the money, and they're willing to do sensational things, and they're willing to hoax, and they're willing to promote stuff that is ultimately delegitimizing. And the term debunker has sort of become like a dirty word now amongst UFO researchers. It's an insult, you know. Oh, you're a debunker, you know. But, you know, sometimes you have to debunk, you know, if it's a hoax, if it's fake, if it's easily recognized as being prosaic, I think we have to honestly point that out, regardless of whatever your beliefs are. You know, we have to look at each piece of evidence and determine, you know, its merit. And, some stuff can be called out, I think, and it's not a bad thing. It's trying to find the truth, and I have no problem calling out something if I know it's a Chinese lantern. I'm gonna tell you it's a Chinese lantern. I'm sorry if you don't like that interpretation, you know. And but since a lot of that stuff out there, you know, 90% or more of the stuff out there is baloney, we need to call out the baloney and not have like a reverse stigma, you know, to where people with different ideas are lambasted or whatnot. We need to be honest in our interpretations, I think.
I have no problem with debunkers as long as they are legitimately trying to look for the answer. You know, what I have a problem with is somebody, say, like Philip Klaus, who will just come up with the most outrageous explanations for something without even considering what actually happened.
Absolutely. And it comes down to, you know, whether or not you're fair, right? I think there is fair debunking and there's not fair debunking. You know, there's, and I devised a term called pro bunker, where there are people that are going to maintain the phenomenological state of a piece of evidence, no matter how obvious the interpretation towards the prosaic is. Somebody's always going to say, you know, that's not a Chinese lantern, you know? And likewise, there are debunkers who are always got to try to find an explanation, no matter how elaborate, because they don't want to recognize the phenomenological state of a piece of evidence. I don't believe in debunking or pro-bunking. I think, we need to look at each piece of evidence and just weigh the different interpretations. And it's just everybody's wrapped up in a cause now, you know. It's everything is about the cause, you know, and whether or not it appears bad for the disclosure cause, you know. Mick West gets lambasted almost like he's a new Phil Klass.
We had Mick on the Paracast. He seemed like a personable gentleman, although it's fairly obvious he has an agenda, and that agenda is, regardless of facts, to find prosaic explanations for UFO cases. Tim, Michael, Gene, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.
We all have heard about the benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in fatty tissues of fish? GCNteam.com recognizes this risk and offers IFOS certified tested omega-3 fatty acids. EPA, DHA insists on IFOS omega-3 fatty acid certification. Get the best at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
You see, the difference between Phil Klass, and I met him thousands of years ago, and a guy like Mick West, Klass was more doctrinaire about what he did. And also, as an individual, I hated him. I know Jim Moseley was friendly with him. Mick West, we had on the Paracast, and he was perfectly friendly. We didn't agree with him or anything. I want to bring up another thing, Michael, since we're mentioning cases that are real or not, legends that are real or not. What's your take, since we just came to that anniversary not too many days ago? Roswell.
I'm going to be honest and say, I don't know. there have been times in my life, you know, when I was younger and, you know, when I first heard the tales, you know, going all the way back to like the In Search Of show where Roswell was, you know, introduced into the culture. It fascinated me, and it made sense that if there are a significant number of sightings, that perhaps some of them would result in maybe an object going down.
Let me just throw this out before you go on. Okay, Roswell occurred roughly July 7th, 1947. 7 years earlier, Richard Starkey, Ringo Starr, was born. So Roswell occurred on Ringo's birthday. Is Ringo an E.T.?
I don't know. It's quite possible. Yeah, I love Ringo. He's one of my favorites. He's probably my favorite Beatle, just because, I don't know, I watched him in Caveman when I was a kid, and Barbara Bach I thought was a good catch for him, but I don't know. Yeah. My wife's a big Beatles fan. Yeah.
Did you guys watch the Beatles Get Back, that 6-hour documentary, or 8 hours, or a million hours, or whatever it was?
Absolutely. Yeah, we loved it. Yeah, big Beatle fans.
Well, my wife and I spent time in the recording studio, so we savored every bit. But you notice something interesting there. Every day, Ringo arrives on time.
It's true.
I mean, his work ethic was terrific. Roswell, nothing to do with Ringo, doesn't involve drums, Ludwig drums or any other brand. Roswell, a ledge crash, it's a legend. Roswell, New Mexico, turned itself into kind of sort of a tourist attraction. What's going on there, if anything?
Well, I mean, it's the UFO crash archetype is, it's very recognizable now. You know, coming from, you know, the work of, like Leonard Stringfield and people like that. I think all of these crashes sort of, you know, follow the same template. The flying saucer crash, there were some bodies, maybe one of them was still alive. The local authorities come, and then the military comes in, swears everybody's secrecy, threatens them, takes the stuff away to, hey, you're 18 at Wright-Patterson or, you know, Area 51 or whatnot. Cape Girardeau, where I'm at, has its own UFO crash tale that follows that same template. Our story took place in 1941 prior to Roswell, but it's pretty much the same sort of story. In the Roswell case, like in the Cape Girardeau case, I think there was probably some sort of event. Something crashed that was either, you know, extraterrestrial or something more prosaic, you know, something man-made. And, you know, it's been misinterpreted or changed, over the retellings over the decades and has become urban legend. Ultimately, I think we probably won't know unless we have some sort of, you know, revelatory event from the government, you know, if there is such a cover-up of these sort of things. Until then, it remains part of the culture, and we haven't really exploited it too much. We are having a conference here in August, a paranormal conference, the Midwest Conference on the Unknown, and we will be doing some tours out to the alleged crash site. But that's it's not devised to get money. But it's to educate people. And but Roswell, yeah, Roswell, you know, is known for its crash. And I think some of these communities can benefit from using their stories to benefit their communities. Like the Kelly community over there has their Kelly Little Green Men Days, and all the proceeds go to, you know, like the local fire department. So when it's things like that, I'm totally, you know, supportive of taking advantage and you know, letting tourists come in and help the community out.
You know, small towns have a lot of difficulty raising money, yeah. Especially nowadays when society is so messed up and everything. So there's no problem with that. Socorro, New Mexico, hasn't really done that much to monetize their case. But,
no.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if they did it, but it is such a different thing. The problem is, of course, is separating the culture and the profiteering and the 7,000th Roswell book, and I think Kevin D. Randall has another one coming out or just came out, so it just never ends. Is there a solid bit of evidence anywhere that Roswell represented more than something conventional?
I mean, there's people that have, you know, supposedly there's metamaterials, you know, there's physical evidence. Certainly something happened, you know, it was in the paper, and there's a lot of witnesses to that. It's open to interpretation. It's open to which person we want to believe, who has credibility. And, I don't know. Do you believe the government report from the mid 90s, or do you believe, you know, Jesse Marcel's account?
Right, but the other problem with Roswell is a lot of people jumped in there and wanted to become part of the action. That's something that Kevin Randall realized when he did his book, Roswell. Roswell in the 21st century, where, well, he tried to correct some of the misstatements, pointed out where evidence, for example, that bodies were recovered in Roswell didn't really hold up to further scrutiny. He thinks something weird happened, but he doesn't know what it was. It certainly wasn't a Mogul balloon. And it wasn't crash test dummies that weren't even used till some years later. Oh, crash test dummies that went back through time.
Yeah, and even more theorizing, you know, has come about, you know, that the government used... I don't know, children or captured soldiers. You know, there's every year there's more theorizing, you know, subjective speculation.
Let's suggestively or let's speculate here. Let's do our speculation and split for a second here, or two or three, with Michael, Tim, and Junior in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com, and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
President Biden has pledged American support to the Middle East region before he started to head back to Washington following a four-day trip to Saudi Arabia. The president met individually with the leaders of Iraq, Egypt, the United Arab Emirates, and Jordan, but it was his meeting with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman on Friday that is still being talked about.
I raised it at the top of the meeting, making it clear what I thought of it at the time and what I think of it now. And it was exactly, I was straightforward and direct in discussing it. I made my view crystal clear.
The president said he made it clear that he thought the prince was responsible for the murder of Washington Post writer Jamal Khashoggi. The prince has denied any role in the killing. Biden also asked the Saudis to put more oil to lower gas prices. But the Saudis say that America doesn't just need more oil, they need more refineries as well. This is USA Radio News. The House Select Committee looking into the January 6th insurrection has issued a subpoena to the Secret Service Friday. That's following a government watchdog accusing the agency of erasing text messages from January 5th and 6th last year after the watchdog's office requested them. The text messages could provide insight into what the agency did that day, as well as the actions of now former President Trump. The agency said the messages were replaced as part of a long-planned device replacement program. Crews south of France continue to fight wildfires that have consumed more than 22,000 acres. More than 1,200 firefighters have been deployed. The wildfires are among dozens across Europe that are driven by a heat wave. The National Weather Forecaster in France is predicting temps of at least 1 to 4 degrees Fahrenheit to the country's Atlantic coast in the early part of next week. It was another bad week for Wall Street at the close on Friday, though big companies reported solid earnings. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
The thing that bothers me about Roswell is the fact that if we really, in 1947, got a hold of a real spaceship, an advanced aircraft from out there, how, if any way, has it influenced anything? Do they still have it? Do they send it out to private industry? And no, Philip Corso didn't have the technology for night vision goggles to hand to private industry because it was discovered by the Nazis years earlier.
Right. Yeah, those are great questions. And anybody that, you know, studies technological development, we know that, yes, infrared night vision was developed by the Nazis, you know, in the German army in World War II, and lasers and fiber optics, you know, and you can trace back the development of that, and it didn't like automatically magically appear. You know, there were scientists developed this stuff, and they should get credit for those developments, you know. Yeah, if there's a craft, you know, where's the craft? I think if the government rolled out a craft, that would sort of, you know, end the speculation. Well, not entirely, because, you know, we live in a hyper-conspiracy age now where even if you did come out and reveal things, people are going to think it's a false flag or, you know, some sort of manipulative thing. So I don't even think we can have a disclosure, you know, as people envision it. But I think if there is legitimate extraterrestrial, terrestrial, whatever otherworldly technology, I think if it's put in mainstream science, the hands of mainstream science, I think they can figure out pretty quickly that it is from somewhere else. And there's been hints of that. There's been scientists that have that worked on, you know, some of these projects that have claimed that they have worked on that type of material. But it always comes down to stories and anecdote, nothing really legitimate, you know.
But that, of course, is the entire picture of the UFO field.
Exactly. Exactly.
We have years of it. It doesn't mean there isn't anything real there, but it's always one step ahead of us.
Yep.
I don't mean one step beyond, like, the TV show, or maybe that, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that's the big thing. And, you know, that's why we have, like, ultra-dimensional theories now. You know, where there's intelligences that can, you know, alter physics and perception, because we have issues relative to, like, incommensurability, you know, UFOs and ghosts and Bigfoot, all have this same problem within science of not staying in one spot to where we can study it. You know, it's a moving sort of thing, and it's hard to study when you can't study something. You know, you know, that's called incommensurability. How do you study something that is transient? How do you study something that can't be studied or won't let you study it? You know, which is sort of how UFOs have been anthropomorphized now. A lot of younger people don't even call UFOs UFOs or UAP even. They call it the phenomenon. And they imbue it with all these different attributes, almost like it's a deity. And they speak of it as if it's a singular, you know, like the phenomena won't let the people at Skinwalker study it, you know. And it's almost like a pseudo-religious sort of thing. All of that extends from incommensurability, problems relative to not being able to study something. That brings up the notion that it won't let you study it. That's why you can't study it.
That is, though, a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right. And it's sort of a biased interpretation, you know. And even if you do have, you know, problems of studying something, you know, if it's transient, it's not a barrier to where you just, okay, we have to accept it because it can't be studied. You know, you don't surrender your methodology. What you do is you devise a better methodology. You know, incommensurability is not an obstacle. It's not a barrier. It's just something in the way that you have to move around. And I think the best way to study something like UFOs or Bigfoot or ghosts is to localize it. You know, and engage in long-term study. And that's what we need. And we really haven't had that. You know, places like Hestelin and Project Identification have done, and, you know, in Yakima, there have been long-term studies of anomalous locations. Marley Woods near me is another spot where supposedly anomalous things occur. That's going to be your best bet, I think, for working around the incommensurability issues and trying to get some real science. But the problem is, like you were saying, you know, everything's entertainment oriented now. And so everything has to be, you know, run by TV programs, and there's always going to be the sensational aspect to it that is going to delegitimize your programmatic science. And I think places like Skinwalker are starting to see that, you know, even if they engage in legitimate science, when they do certain experiments that are denotive of pseudoscience, that sort of delegitimizes the rest of the programmatic effort, you know? So it's, because that's really what we're trying to do, is get mainstream science interested in these areas. It's not a matter of having a TV show, going on the news, and trying to convince the public, because, you know, scientific paradigm shifts aren't by popular vote. They come about through consensus science within the mainstream. That's how you do it. So science, UFOs and cryptozoology and paranormal are going to have to start gearing their persuasions towards establishment science, because those are the ones that you have to influence. And the way they're going to be influenced is through proof, through evidence, through programmatic methodology. And, you know, I encourage that. And I think groups like MUFON and SCU and other groups out there need to promote scientific field projects instead of just doing entertainment and TV shows all the time.
Well, MUFON bothers the heck out of me because they've gone very heavy into promoting or being evangelists for a message. We're being visited by ET. Let's put these conferences together and get all sorts of wacky people on there because they fill seats. And I have problems with MUFON doing that. Of course, I'm not discussing the problems with leadership and the issues there. I'm talking specifically about getting something done.
Right. And I think, you know, I'm also a UFO reformer. And I you know, critique aspects of the UFO research field. One of my critiques is the heavy entertainment aspect and the celebrity culture, you know, that has come about from corporate entertainment, you know, and, at the expense, I think, of science and at the expense of trying to legitimize the field.
Well, you'd understand here when a TV production company is there to produce a show, a paranormal right. reality show. Number one, it's a one-hour show, so you have roughly 42 and a half minutes to find the ghost. You then have to get enough of an audience so advertisers will advertise, and not just advertise, pay the money to advertise so that you can pay the talent. And give the producers a big cut of the piece and rip off the people who aren't smart enough to have good lawyers. That's show business for you. Michael, Gene, and Tim, you're in.
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Are you prepared for more severe food shortages? It's likely that over the next year, serious food shortages will plague us. American farmers are dealing with insane diesel fuel prices and fertilizer shortages, which will lower crop yields. And that means your family's favorite foods will soon be in short supply while fetching sky-high prices. Inflation is the new normal, folks. It's time to act before things get even worse. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com without delay. You'll find ready hour emergency food kits from My Patriot Supply that lasts up to 25 years in storage. Each kit provides over 2,000 calories a day to keep your energy up. Order your emergency food kits today by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your food ships fast and arrives in unmarked boxes. Listen, there are ways to beat food shortages. When you're ready for real preparedness, make sure to look for Ready Hour Foods from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Honestly, this stuff works. Nick, easy to take capsules. For those who can't handle the liquid drops, easy-to-take Extendivite capsules do the same job. Karoka Fam works great. Like Extendivite very much. Seems to work as advertised. Thanks. Arlene, 5 stars. Love this product, Extendivite. Terry W., 5 stars. Can't say enough. Great product. Freya, 5 stars. I just ordered another. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is Big the Merciless. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio, exactly according to my plan.
I say that about ripping off when you think that Steven Spielberg paid Dr. J. Allen Hynek $3,500 for the work he did for Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's criminal. Now, of course, Steven Spielberg, you want to sue me? Go ahead. Make my day.
You know, the lines have been blurred, and they've always kind of been blurry, you know, when it comes to, like, the celebrity aspect and the entertainment aspect, you know, within, like, UFOs. But now it's become, you know, more than a cottage industry. It's legitimately an entertainment industry thing now. You know, MUFON has spent millions of dollars on public relations and TV shows and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, where are the scientific field programs, you know? Where is the publishing of scientific papers in peer-reviewed journals? Where are the investments in, you know, cameras and the scientific arrays, you know, for the field, you know, that's the sort of stuff that, you know, I would not want to dump any of the entertainment stuff because I consume it. I consume everything. I always have, and I love the entertainment stuff, but, you know, I think we need a little bit of a balance. I think there is way too much UFOtainment within ufology now, and by that I mean people that are trying to be celebrities, people that are trying to raise their cachet and their marketability, their value on the lecture circuit, which is very profitable. Corporate, you know, entertainment has come in and influenced things like, you know, the investigation of Skinwalker Ranch and has created these celebrities, you know, these UFO celebrities that are going to be speaking to Congress on behalf of the field, you know. So I think all of these things are a concern, especially if there's sensational narratives that are being pushed simply for the fact that it sells better and it's more entertaining.
When you come to Skinwalker Ranch, we've had some people on the show, such as Erica Lukes, don't know if you know her, who do not at all believe in Skinwalker Ranch. What I did notice when I was looking it over the other day, looking over the situation, is that Robert Bigelow sold Skinwalker Ranch, and the new owners were working on setting up kind of a resort kind of attraction.
Well, as somebody who, you know, travels around to phenomenological locations, I think that Skinwalker has a history of being that. I think it's an interesting location worthy of study. I think the latest iteration, you know, via, you know, a TV show, a Prometheus TV show, you know, the same people that do Ancient Aliens, I think it is probably delegitimizing. And I'm friends with Brandon Fugel, the owner. I will probably be visiting there later on, maybe in August, the end of August or so. And it's an interesting place. And there are places that are, I think, phenomenal. Marley Woods is someplace that is very similar. You know, it's here in Missouri. It's called the Skinwalker Ranch of Missouri. Same sort of stuff, you know, a variety of phenomena. Ted Phillips, who is the great trace case investigator, you know, a protege of Dr. Hynek, did a multi-year study there and documented all kinds of weird and unusual, really weird stuff, you know, from cryptids to portals to creatures to mutilations of all different kinds. And I've been there and have gotten a few interesting things on my cameras as well. So those places exist. But, you know, when you get TV involved, I think it is, it does move towards the sensational because, you know, they need to cut away to a commercial and they want to follow that cliffhanger formula, you know. But, you know, with Skinwalker, you know, we have the issue with Dr. Travis Taylor, who's their head scientist on there. It turns out he was also the head scientist for the UAP task force recently that was created by the Congress. And, you know, there's questions that have been raised about his involvement, whether or not the task force was actually engaging in science, because people have been critical of Dr. Taylor's interpretations and the fact that he has been on shows like Ancient Aliens. And I think these things, you know, are kind of delegitimizing, unfortunately. And I think it should be avoided. I try to encourage people not to go. There are people that want to be celebrities. They want to be celebrity UFO people and ghost hunters, and they want to live that lifestyle, you know, where they travel around and they go to all these conferences. And there's definitely a social component, like I said before, you know, within these subcultures, and people just want to have that. But it can be delegitimizing depending on the project that you choose. And I think we need to be more careful with what we choose.
The thing I've seen over thousands of years of following this subject, where it only seems like thousands of years, is that it is really very difficult to make a lot of money from UFOs. You can get paid for a lecture. You could possibly do a reality show, and those will give you some kind of tiny check. The producers always make all the money. But if you write a UFO book, and I talk the money over with people like Nick Redfern, who's written many books about UFOs and the paranormal, and the money isn't there. I mean, I can tell you, there was this book that we waited for many years, shockingly close to the truth, from yeah. Jim Ousley and Carl Flock, okay, written in the early 2000s. They had an agent arrange this deal, okay? The total advance was $4,000. This contains years of Jim's work. It was a pretty straight-ahead book. I enjoyed it, not just because my name was mentioned a few times. I really liked the book. All these years to get that book out, worse, the book didn't earn out. Earn out, by the way, in publishing lexicon means it earns out more than the advance they give you, so you get royalties. I didn't do that. In fact, at the end of the day, they had books, the publisher, that they wanted to sell to Jim at a discount so he could sell the books, and of course he said, no. But that to me is an example. Most UFO books, however good, don't make a lot of money. Some do, and bless them.
Yeah, and that's why you know, like the conference circuit has become so dominant, because that's how you can take your authorship cachet or your TV celebrity cachet and profit from it. There are. It's not true for everybody. like you said, most people, most researchers, you know, that maybe have written one book or appeared on a documentary or a show or whatever, they're not making hardly anything at all. You know, they might get, a ticket and a hotel to go to some of these conferences, and they'll have a table and they'll be able to sell some of their wares. But you really have to get up to that higher level, you know, like Nick Pope or Richard Dolan or whatever, to where you have constant bookings, right? You can make some money, I think, if you are appearing on TV regularly, because you're going to make, you know, a few hundred or a thousand here or there, you know, for different appearances. Conferences, you know, you can make a few thousand for an appearance and then, you know, sell some books, maybe make a few thousand more on top of that if you're lucky, or a few hundred. It sort of depends on the venue, but it's more of a lifestyle sort of thing. And the question is, when does it become a negative influence, you know? And I think when you do get the corporate stuff in and you start changing things and sensationalizing things, that's when it becomes a negative. And it's frustrating because it's so unnecessary. I don't think you really need to over sensationalize a lot of these cases, you know, and some of these stories, because the stories themselves, I think, are just fascinating in themselves. You know, like that Project Blue Book TV show that came out a couple years ago, and they just changed everything around. You know, it was so frustrating because it was so unnecessary.
Remember also, that was, by the way, the show that was loosely based on the life of Dr. Hynek. It was meant to be a sci-fi show, but a very bad sci-fi show. And they tried to take this gentle, calm guy, Dr. J. Allen Hynek, and turn him into an action hero. Can you beat that? Michael, Gene, and Tim, you're in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hey folks, Tom D for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, ghosts, zombies, UFOs, crop circles, and more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people who seek a little more than the other dating services offer. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and you want to connect with others, use the code George for a substantial discount. So many people want to share their experiences with the paranormal, the afterlife, the unusual, and this is the place to meet and share common interests with those of like minds. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. That's ParanormalDate.com. Use the code word George and start meeting others. Get going now and connect with someone you like.